I know, I'm not the bald guy you were expecting. I promise you that I don't have him tied up in my office. I didn't drive the 40 miles to his house and flatten his tires. My name is Brian. I'm one of the pastors here. I'm the newest pastor on staff. If you weren't here last week, I preached last week. And the reason that I'm up again today is I got a very fun phone call yesterday around 11 a.m. from Pastor Paul. And he proceeded to ask me this question. He said, Brian, are you familiar with the passage in Timothy where he says, be ready in season and out of season? And I said, yes, Paul, I am aware of that because every senior pastor I've ever worked for has always used that as the opening line to ask me to preach the next day. So that is why I'm here. And so what has happened, what has transpired is one of our staff members does have COVID. And because of that, several of our other staff members were in close contact. So we're following our procedures. Paul does not, as far as we know, does not have it, but he's got to get tested, and we're going to follow all the normal procedures. So that's why he's not here this morning. That's why you have me. I'm excited about proceeding with that. So if you're here, I want to say welcome. We're glad you're here. If you're watching in the theater or online, thank you. We're excited. We're continuing on our series called Heart from Stone. And kind of the key verse that we've been looking at in Ezekiel 11 is 11, 19 through 20. It says, I will give them one heart and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh that they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey them, and they shall be my people and I will be their God. The idea is that the law was given to us on this cold stone. It was good. It taught us about the character and nature of who God is. But it was lacking in that we weren't in our own power capable of living it out the way we were supposed to. So through the work of Jesus Christ to come to this earth, Emmanuel, God with us, comes to earth, lives a perfect sinless life, obeys the law, fulfills it for us, then sacrifices his own life on the cross that we might have eternal life. Then promises us the Holy Spirit to come to live within us in order to give us the power to actually live this out, that we may walk in his statutes and keep his rules. Now we have the power within us through the Holy Spirit to actually do those things God's called us to do. So as we've been going through this series, we've been looking very specifically at the Ten Commandments and how those relate to us now in light of what Jesus has done, in light of the Holy Spirit indwelling us and us learning to walk in step with him. And today specifically, we're going to be talking about families. And that's because we're going to focus primarily and only actually on this verse, one of the Ten Commandments. And it says, honor your father and mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now, I used to love to tell my kids this. Honor me so that your days will be long. But I think I had a little different perspective than they did, right? So we're going to talk about this a little bit today. But listen, I want to explain. My big idea is really found in the title of my message today, and that is becoming, it's all of us becoming the parents that our family deserves. And I know you hear that and you go, oh, no, this verse is about correcting my children, fixing them. I get that. It is, kind of. But it's also, we need to remember, first of all, we've got a children's ministry and a youth ministry that are going to definitely be talking about this stuff this week, and they're going to be doing their best to point them towards Jesus. But we have to remember that for us, we become the model for how our kids get there. See, relationally, they're going to learn through us what it looks like to honor us. Does that make sense? They're going to see it in the way we treat other people. They're going to see it in the way we treat our spouses. They're going to see it in the way we treat our parents. So if we want to see our children do a good job of honoring their father and mother, then we have to reflect that for them. Now, just a little bit about me. My parents are both passed away now. My parents had me when they were quite a bit older. I have 4 older brothers, and all of them are at least 13 to 20 years older than I am. So basically what happened is my parents had 4 boys, a couple years apart, each one of them. And then 13 years later, they went, oh, guess what? We can still get pregnant. And out popped me, okay? So unfortunately, because of that, I had to say goodbye to my parents much earlier than I would have preferred. In fact, growing up, my parents were often the same age as many of my friends' grandparents. So I knew I would be saying bye early then. And while I was church planning years ago, around 2011, 2012, within a 2-year span, I lost both my mother and father. And that's difficult. Once they say that you don't really ever truly grow up until both parents are gone. And because there's no longer a safety net there. There's no longer someone for me to call and say, hey, I don't know what to do about this situation, or hey, can you help me with this? And they're not there to call anymore. And so I say that because I have some incredible memories, but I also have some regrets. Regrets about not doing more to honor them, not doing more to reach out to them and love them. And ultimately, I don't want to see my kids have those same regrets. So today we're gonna talk about 3 keys, okay? 3 keys to helping us be the parents that our family needs us to be. So that ultimately, through relationship, our kiddos will be able to get to a spot where honoring their father and mother is easy. And it really becomes about a reflection of who we are. Psalm 128 is gonna be kind of our key passage for this morning. It says this, it said, blessed are all who fear the Lord and walk in obedience to him. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Yes, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life, and may you live to see your children's children. Peace be on Israel. The first key that I want to give you today is this. A parent's foundation must be in obedience to the Lord. This is what we've been talking about the last 2 weeks. It's the idea of out of a relationship, we're loving God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. It says, blessed, Psalm 128:1 says, blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. This idea of fear in the Old Testament probably is even better if we called it awe. It's a fear that really is an act of worship. I know that sounds a little weird, but it's the idea that we become so relationally, so in close to our God that we begin to discover all that he is and all of what he's done, and because of it, we're in awe of it. If you remember right, last week I had a couch up here and I talked about how knowledge is one thing, but until we actually experience it for ourselves, it's lacking. And so what we're really talking about when we say fear of the Lord is we're talking about an experiential knowledge of who he is that shakes us at our very core when we realize his power. And yet he's got this incredible power. We understand his justice, but we also understand his love and his compassion, that the God of the universe has said, even though you've sinned, I love you, and you are free to come to the throne room of grace boldly. That is awe-inspiring. That should lead us to a desire to have a deeper relationship. In Proverbs, it says it this way, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You see how that knowledge has to become more and more intense and leads to a deeper and deeper relationship with God. Then James says it this way, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. And then James goes on a little bit later and kind of explains what that wisdom looks like. And I want to take a little bit of time to kind of dive into each of these things. He kind of lists a bunch of characteristics and says, this is what wisdom from the Lord looks like. If you want to know whether or not you've been spending enough time in relationship with God that his awe-inspiring power has gotten all over you, and if you're beginning to walk in step with the Spirit, if you want to know what it looks like to be formed into the image of Christ, here's a few things. He says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Let's start with talking about pure. Now, when I first read this, I thought it was talking about purity, like sexual purity, but it's not. Really, this word here is the idea of having vision for your family. Direction, understanding where we're going and sticking to it. Not letting your eyes or anything else in your life be sidetracked from where you're going. Pastor Paul's talked a lot about this, and we're going to continue to talk about this and try to help you develop this concept. But there's a spiritual practice called writing a rule of life. And all the writing a rule of life is it's an opportunity for you to kind of look at your life, the whole of who you are in Christ, and say, this is where I want to be. If I'm following Jesus, if I'm being formed into his image, these are the things and the areas in my life that are going to begin to change. And so one of the best things we can do for our family is to sit down and say, hey, we're going to develop a rule of life for our family that prioritizes our relationship with God, our relationship with each other, and relationship with those that God puts in contact with us. And so if we're keeping our eyes focused firmly on Jesus Christ, the Bible says the author and perfecter of our faith, if our eyes are on him, then it's difficult for us to get in trouble. If our eyes are on him, it's going to help our children have their eyes on him. So this becomes essential for us then to be working on some of the disciplines we've been talking about, quiet time and prayer, fasting and confession, because those things help us focus. Those things help us get in step with the Holy Spirit in our life and keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, therefore transforming us into his likeness. Then it talks about being peace-loving. Man, I don't know about you. I'm guessing there's some other guys, maybe gals in here that could relate to this, but being a man of peace at times is very difficult for me. I remember a couple years ago, I was leaving the YMCA. Now, to give you a little background on this story, at the time I was doing something called intermittent fasting. I was working hard at trying to lose some weight. I'd kind of hit this, it was around 2014. I'd hit a very unhealthy season in my life. My physical health, my spiritual health, everything was kind of falling apart. I'd come to the end of a 7-year run planting a church. We had to close it. It was a very difficult season, and I had worked 3, sometimes 4 jobs in order to try to keep that thing alive, and nothing about me was healthy at that time. So in the midst of all this unhealthiness, I had started intermittent fasting to try to at least get the physical side of things back under control. And I was coming out of the YMCA after living. Now, here's what you need to know about me. At that time, I was coming out of the YMCA after lifting, but I was also still fasted. So there was a level of hangry that I can't even explain to you. Like, it was one of those levels where you go, don't even look at me or I will murder you. Okay? So I'm walking out. I get into my truck and I'm starting to back up, and I notice a guy pulling in. And he gives me, I didn't even move. I didn't back up. I just had put it in reverse so the little white lights came on. I guess he was offended by the little white lights. And he proceeded to pull in next to me and start saying things through his window that I could read really well in his mouth that weren't pleasantries, if you know what I'm saying. And all I could think of in my heart was, he has no idea that all I want to do right now is bust his window out, pull him out, and beat him. And then maybe eat him because I was so hungry. He has no idea. And I would love to tell you that a deep, intimate walk with the Lord is what kept me from doing the wrong thing at that time. It wasn't. I was just too tired. Too tired to beat him up. Too weak to beat him up. I wasn't in a healthy spot, but I was mad. And here's how I know I was mad in an unhealthy way. It was hours and days later where I was still angry about it, still frustrated about it. See, folks, when we get out of step with the Spirit of God, when we're not in regular relationship with God, that's when things become very easy to pull us away, to pull us from His attention and make us do things that we regret. Now, here's the sad truth. It's much easier in those moments to ignore the bonehead guy at the YMCA, but then when I get home and my wife says something I don't like, or my kids say something I don't like, to snap on them with my words and say things that are hurtful or cutting, simply because it's easy with them to do that, because there's more familiarity. But those things cut. I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that I have said things to my wife that have left deep and lasting scars. All because it wasn't in a healthy place, not walking in step with God's Spirit. I know for a fact that I've said things to my children that have left scars. How then, how much harder then am I making it for them to honor their father when they don't see Christ reflected in me? Now, as I stated last week, we serve a God that is grace-filled, that when our sin increases, His grace increases all the more. So I'm here to tell you that I'm thankful for that, because after a few weeks, a few more months of just unhealthiness, I began to take steps both in my personal life with my physical fitness, but also my spiritual and other areas of my life to get my life recentered on God. And when I'm centered on Him, I do a much better job loving people around me, especially my family. But how do we know that we're being obedient to God? How do we know that we're being obedient? These things are going to start to come out of our life. We'll be peace-loving, considerate, submissive. What that simply means is that it's not my way and my desires, it's what others want around me. If I'm going to love on them and love them the way that Jesus loves me, then I want to be there to serve them. Not hurt them, not scar them, not say things I'm going to regret later on, but love them unconditionally and serve them unconditionally. Then full of mercy and good fruit. What are the fruits? Fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. That last one. Whew. But if I'm doing those things and then I'm impartial and sincere, if I'm doing these things, these are a litmus test to tell whether or not my world is in right relationship with God. Again, this is not to earn salvation. We've tried to make that very clear the last 3 weeks. Salvation is, if you've asked Jesus in your life, it's done. You don't add anything to salvation, but he doesn't want to leave us in the state we were. He wants to transform us by the renewing of our minds. And so these are some of the things we can tell. If these things are going well, if these things are coming out of us, if they're flowing out of us in our relationships with our children, with our relationship with our coworkers, families, friends, people that we meet, dumb guy in the blue car at YMCA, whatever it is, these things are flowing out of us, then we know we're doing a much better job of staying in step with the Spirit. But if there's an area, and I'm going to guess that as you sit here this morning, one of these areas is a problem. That you're thinking about a story where you've kind of blown it, maybe specifically with your wife or your kids. Maybe you were impatient about something. Maybe you were helping your daughter with her homework a couple of days ago, and instead of realizing that she's a little behind because she's been in Texas for the last couple of years, you got a little impatient with her and angry and frustrated, and it came out in your words, and you were, oh, maybe that was me. See, I can't take that back. And now she's a little bit more uncertain whether or not she can come to me for help. And that breaks my heart. I know there's areas here that I need to be working on. And I'm guessing as you sit here this morning, you can think of some very specific ones. So here's what I want to do. I want to take a moment, just pause. I'm going to ask every eye to close. And I want you to just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. What area in my life right now is out of whack? Is causing harm in other people? What I want you to do today is I want you to practice one of the most important disciplines. I want you to take that thing that God just revealed to you, the Holy Spirit just revealed to you, and I want you to confess it. Confess it to another human being, confess it to God. Do both. Because here's what I know, that when sin is brought into the light, it loses its power over us. We don't have to hold on to guilt. We can let that go. Remember what I talked about last week? When sin disrupts our life, the beauty of God's grace is that we can get back up and just keep moving forward towards following Jesus. We don't have to stand back here and kick ourselves and beat ourselves. We can go, you know what? I screwed up. I'm getting back up. I'm going to ask for forgiveness to whoever I need to ask forgiveness from. The next day, I was home, and I had come in a little later, and my oldest son was at the kitchen table with my daughter, patiently teaching her math. And I was floored by it. He didn't get frustrated one time. He just lovingly helped her for 2 hours. 23-year-old dude who wanted to be playing video games helped my daughter for 2 hours without getting mad one time. Conviction, baby. That's what that was. Walked over to my daughter and I said, man, I'm so thankful for Noah helping you right now. He's so much more patient than I am so sorry about yesterday, sweetie. The Bible says that my sin then is separated as far as the east is from the west. So to continue to feel guilty about it is pointless. It's time to get up and move forward and try not to repeat the same mistake the next day. So my task for you this week in this area is to think about what is one of these things I can start working on. Here's what I know. If you try to tackle all these things, because I'm going to guess if you're like me, you have areas of each of these that need work, right? So just do yourself a huge favor and take one. When I first started coaching high school football, I used to try to get players to learn everything all within the first week. I wanted them to be perfect. I'd go into practice and we'd have our individual time, and I mostly coached offensive line, and I'd teach them all the right stances, the best first steps, how we're supposed to do these different plays, how you pull, how you trail, all this stuff, right? Taught them all these plays. And then we'd go, and I would think, I got them. First day, I got them. They're set. And we'd go over to team practice, and I'd sit next to the coach going, all right, these guys are going to make me proud. And then they would completely screw it all up. Not remember one thing, do it all wrong. And I'd be so frustrated. And I'd be like, guys, what the heck, man? You're making me look bad, right? Then as I got a little older, a little wiser, I realized, look, these are 14 to 17-year-olds. Their parents can't even get them to brush their teeth. I gotta simplify this stuff. So now I get through the first day, and if I can get a kid to just do this with a kind of a straight back, I'm thrilled. It's been a victory. If by day two we get them to take the first step, we're winning, baby. We're winning. And then we just build on that every day. So what I'm trying to say to you here is start taking steps. We're going to move towards the idea of being in step with the Spirit. It's small steps. The beauty of my relationship with Jesus is I've noticed he doesn't try to tap me on the shoulder for everything that's wrong with me right away. I have noticed, however, that he loves to pick on one thing until it's fixed. Hey, we need to talk about this impatience thing, Brian, because it's affecting your wife, it's affecting your kids. We need to fix this. That's the thing God will keep on me about. There's 10,000 other things that need to be fixed too. Ask my wife, she'll tell you. But the Spirit doesn't work that way. He's not going to give you more than you can handle, more than you can deal with right now. Which brings us to our second point, is that a parent's primary mission should be the spiritual and emotional well-being of the family. Psalm 128, 2 through 4 says, "You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessing and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children like an olive shoot around the table. Yes, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord." That doesn't matter what we're talking about, man, woman, parents, listen. What you want to see in your kid has to be reflected from you first. That's all this is trying to say. Is that if you want to see this in your kiddos, it's going to have to be reflected in your heart, in your life first. You got to model it. And so if they don't see us moving towards getting better, if they don't see us modeling confession, modeling prayer, modeling Bible study, then how can we ever expect them to begin running after these things in their lives? How are they going to develop the fear of the Lord if they don't see us with the fear of the Lord? How are they ever going to know how to get through the most difficult times through the power of prayer and the Holy Spirit if they don't see us getting through those times that way? Listen, my desire today is not to throw a whole bunch of guilt on you. It's just really not. My desire is to say, look, we can do a little better tomorrow. Just a little better. Every day can be a step in the right direction to trust Jesus a little bit more with a little bit more of our life. Because that's all he wants from us. Just a little more today. Because as we do, as we give more and more of our life over to the power of the Holy Spirit, we get back to Galatians 5:1 where it says, "It was for freedom I set you free." See, God knows that ultimately, the more we're in step with the Spirit, the more our lives are formed in the image of Christ, the more free our lives are going to be. And then finally, parents' legacy will have ripple effects for generations, communities, and nations. This verse in Psalms is an interesting thing. It starts talking about the intimate family, but then it takes a turn and it says, "May the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you live to see your children's children. Peace be on Israel." He takes a turn here and starts talking about essentially legacy. How it's our lives and our walk with the Lord can affect our children, our cities, and our nation. If we begin to take small steps to be more and more like Jesus, to be formed in his image, to build a lasting relationship with the Lord that leads us to being more and more like him, it's going to impact not just our kids, but it's going to impact our cities. You want to change the world? You like me, I'm sure, have been watching TV a lot lately. And it's ugly out there. The greatest way to change that is to change this. I promise I won't break into Michael Jackson's Man in the Mirror right now. Nobody here wants to hear me sing. But it is the Man in the Mirror. If I can begin to change him, I'll begin to see that reflected in my children. Here's the thing. Sometimes those days where we're most frustrated with our kids or our spouse, it's usually because they are reflecting back to us something about our character that we don't like. Let me say that again. Usually on those days where we're most frustrated with a child or a spouse or somebody, it's because something in their character, personality, whatever, that's being reflected is something that we see in our own life, and it's being reflected back at us, and we don't like what it looks like. Children are a beautiful mirror. A beautiful mirror into our souls. And if you see something there that worries you, fix this. Go to God. I don't like the behavior I just saw in this child. Where did that come from? That's why we've been talking so much about paying attention to the inner life, what's going on inside of us. Because the very things that are going on inside of us, good or bad, are going to be reflected in our children, our spouse, and some of the closest people in our lives. So if we want to change this generation, we want to change this world, we need to understand that it starts here with the parent. Or kids, if you're in the room, it starts with you. You can reflect good things back to your parents too. I'm not letting you off the hook just because you didn't go to children's church this morning. We can reflect by having an intimate relationship with the Lord. We can reflect the very things that will bring about change in our lives and in the lives of others. So what do I want you to do with this today? Next steps. First, model obedience to the Lord by, like I said last week, by picking a spiritual discipline for yourself that you're doing, that you're modeling, and then teach it to your family. Number two, partner with Jacob's Well Family Ministry. See, here's the thing. I'm gonna show you a quick little video here, but we have a lot that we have going on to help you as parents, but ultimately it has to be a partnership. Watch this video for me. Isn't our family's team amazing? They are amazing. When Jen and I were first getting our kids ready to go off to school years ago, we had kind of decided that we were just gonna send them as a clean slate. I mean, we didn't teach them squat. Just sent them to school and said, good luck. And at first they were a little behind. Thankfully they had great teachers, but we realized along the way that the only way that this was gonna work is if we started helping them, if we partnered with them, because the teachers have a limited time with our kiddos. The same thing's true here, folks. Like, we have a great team, we have great resources for you, but ultimately, all we can do is help you. The ultimate job is yours. It's ultimately your job to raise your children up and point them towards Jesus. Look, when I'm just like most of you, I look back at the pandemic and I went, man, I wish I would have let the kids watch a little less Netflix, play a little less Xbox, and I wish I would have taken more advantage of opportunities to do stuff with them, have fun, teach them about Jesus. I should have done more of that. And see, folks, the problem is if you're counting on JW students to be the only thing that your kiddos get spiritually, then your kids are going to be as spiritually anemic as you would be if you're only being fed by the Lord once a week. So partner with us. We got all kinds of tools, all kinds of things we want to help. Now, one way to help you do that is my last step, and then I'm going to get off the stage, and it's this. It's build a legacy. Build a legacy that goes beyond you, that affects your city and our world, by writing a rule of life for your family. Involve them. Get the kids involved. Get your wife involved. Get your husband involved. Write a rule of life. If you want to know what a rule of life is, just look it up online, man. You got Google. You'll figure it out. I always love it when people want to give you directions to their house and they want to describe it. Now you turn by the third oak tree and then I'm like, dude, we have the internet now. We have Google on my phone. That's going to get me right to your house. Yeah, that doesn't always work. Yes, it works every time now. They've got it down. Anyway, what I want to do is close in prayer and then we're going to continue in worship. But I want to pray for you as parents that you will take every opportunity to be the parents that your family need you to be. Lord, I pray that this morning as we think about this, I don't want guilt. My goal this morning wasn't guilt. So Lord, I pray through your Holy Spirit, you just remove all that. And you just help us, Lord, to find one thing, one next step that will help point us towards a deeper relationship with you and that will help us lead our families well so that our kids grow up and it's just really easy for them to honor their father and mother because they've seen it modeled to them through a relationship. Ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.